Boy, it is exciting to be here with you all this morning. Happy Sunday. Good morning. Welcome to Hope. If you are our guest today, maybe it's your first time coming down here and having pancakes with us, we just want you to know, well, hey, if it's your 100th time coming here, we are stoked that you're here today to be with us. And if it's your first time or second time, we want to thank you for coming, and we have a gift to send you. If you, inside your bulletin, will pull out that blue card that says Connect on there, and this is a great way for those of you who maybe you want to get more connected, get to know some people, you can fill that blue card out, and if you mark it's your first time, we'll send you a free gift, and we're not going to do anything weird, show up at your house or anything, I promise, but we just want to show the love and just say, hey, it's a big deal, you know, coming out here, and so I have a three-year-old. You guys know Kale. If you haven't heard me tell stories about him, you'll just get used to it. He's just a funny little kid, you know. And he just turned three yesterday. And oh my gosh, we took him to the monster trucks the other night at the fair. It's like this kid. You hear him just say monster truck. He got to ride on a fire truck monster truck. They have fire truck, monster truck rides. Like, it was the best day of his life. But this kid, you love for people to teach your kids stuff, but sometimes you don't want them to teach them some stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes when people teach your kids new words. And I bring my kids to church so they'll learn about God, but sometimes they learn other things here. And so, I don't know who taught them this, but somebody taught them a four-letter word a couple weeks ago. And it's a word that we don't say in our house, the word hate. But he thinks it's a good thing. So it's kind of like anything he likes. He's like, I hate pizza. I hate hot dogs. The best one was the other day when he says, Dad, I hate little kids. He's got it a little mixed up. That's like the opposite of what we're wanting to do here, right, Hope? So we're doing this series. We're wrapping this series up today. It's called Surround. And it's this vision that we have to basically be surrounded by God, surround others, and transform our community by God's love, right? Through God's love through us. That's the vision that we have to do that. And Ephesians 1:23 says it perfectly. It says, the church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence, right? So when we're talking about church, we're not talking about the service, okay? And we're here, we had pancakes, they're good, right? And we're hanging out, and this is like a church service, but maybe you're new to all this, and like this is a new thing, but when the Bible talks about church, it's not talking about a building with a steeple, you know, open the doors, here's all the people. It's not talking about a service that you attend, it's talking about people. Then the Bible says that we are the church, that we're Christ's body. Right? And so now we're going to speak and act for God. We're going to be like if you play this out, it's kind of like this, like God strategically placed you in your neighborhood, in your community, in your family, with your coworkers, etc. He strategically placed you to be the resident presence of Jesus in Santa Cruz. And now, if you're here today and you're just kicking the tires, you're not a Jesus follower, I want you to know you're welcome. We're so glad you're here today. We're stoked. But this is kind of a look behind the curtain, like what does it mean to be a Jesus follower? What does God want for us? What's his mission for us to be a light into this world? And we talk about our community. Today, we're kind of wrapping this up. We talked about how God surrounds us a few weeks ago. Then we talked about how we're called to surround the next generation. That's important. That's like so important. And then we're called to surround our neighbors. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? And so now we're talking about our community. How do we surround our community with the love of God? What is our community? Santa Cruz County. From the summit, we've got the beautiful mountains and the redwoods, all the way to the gorgeous beaches, up the coast, down into Watsonville. We are just so blessed to live in a beautiful place. If you don't know that, like you should try traveling sometime. Seriously, like if you don't realize, like I spoke at a conference in Bakersfield last week. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be badmouth in Bakersfield, but like, let me just say, I was so excited to come home. It's really hot out there. And yeah, we're just very blessed. But Santa Cruz is a beautiful place, but how many of you guys know it's also, there's a lot of brokenness here. Like, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sirens at night. I hear a lot of sirens at my house. And, you know, there's a lot of people seeking pleasure and seeking an escape. But how many know, like, you're not there, you can search your whole life looking for that, and you're not going to find spiritual peace until you really find hope. And so that's our heart for Santa Cruz County, is that we would be able to be a light and bring hope and help share the love of God with people. I want to take a minute as we start to look at Jesus and his community, okay? So if you have your Bibles, there's a blue Bible on the chair. If you want one, it's yours. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. And this is Jesus and his community. And he pretty much talks about why he's there, his purpose, his mission, and his community. Check this out. It says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's a bold statement. He's saying, this is why I'm here. There's this scripture that was written about Jesus, about the Messiah coming hundreds of years before. And that's what it said. And so he's like in his neighborhood, he's in his community saying, yeah, this is what I'm here to do. Another place, Matthew chapter 9, I love this. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues. He's starting to fulfill what that last scripture said. He's teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Okay, so we see Jesus in his community. We see his mission. Let me ask you a question. The last line he says, ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field, right? Let me ask you a question. Who here believes that Jesus could have done his mission without us or without anybody else, right? He could have done that. Like, he's fine. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But he, from day one, he invites us to join him in his mission. His mission is our mission. That's why we surround our community. That's why we have a heart for people, because his mission, he has compassion for people. We have compassion for people. And we're here to fulfill that mission. The first thing he said and the last thing he said to his disciples, check this out. The first thing he said was, "Come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people," right? So come, and we're going to go reach people. What was the last thing he said? Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone," right? So there's this mission that he wants us to be part of. I know some of you guys are like, okay, little deer in the headlights right now, okay? I see that. I feel that. Let's talk about this. How do we surround our community with the love of God? The first thing, if you're taking notes or whatever, you can write this down. The first thing I want to talk about is this. We, the church, I'm going to say that because when we say the church, it's often say, oh, okay, well, the church is those people, right? But you're not off the hook, right? If you're a Jesus follower, you're part of this with us, you know? We have a mission. The church, number one, needs to be open for business. And I'm not talking about when you Google Hope Church and you go, okay, what are their business hours? I'm talking about us. When people knock on the door of the church, Are we open? Are we available? Is there room in our lives for people? Because the reality is, if we're honest, like, there's a lot of fear around this. Even though we know that, like, people are all the same, we're 99.99% the same except for the 0.001 DNA that's different or whatever. Like, people are different, right? And we really only like to hang out with people that are like us. Right? Or, like, I'm afraid, like, last week we were talking about the Jesus question. It's a simple way. You want to reach out and just say, is there anything I can do? It's so simple, but it's powerful, right? But the fear is, if I ask that, they're going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right? Or maybe you're like me and, like, you know, you open your, let your guard down and you open your life. I've been a pastor for a while now. And, you know, let my guard down, invest my life in people. And some people take advantage of that. I know. It's a shock. But that happens. And you know what I'm talking about, right? And so we want to shut down. And so, no, we're closed for business. No more barbecues at my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm done. I don't like people. I'm not talking to people. I love God, but I don't know about people. I'm not going to church. Like, there's people there. You know? And little side note, I think the healthiest relationship with God you can have looks like this. God works in our life, surrounds us, loves us, heals us, sends us out to people, right? We give our life away. We get taken advantage of. People hurt us, and they send us right back to God. We go, God, I need help. And he heals us, and he surrounds us, and he loves us, and he gives us peace. And he goes, okay, get back out there to people. The problem is, if you stop that process, like, if you have this idea that, like, somehow, like, people are going to be perfect and they're only going to do what, you know, like, what happens is you stop that process and then you don't grow. And you live life on your own. You weren't meant to do that. And so that's the healthiest relationship with God I can think of right there. You know, and so we want to be open for business. I want to encourage you. Hey, I'm just going to say it right now, like, I'm open for business. I want to be open for business. I'm not talking about the church building. When I'm walking down East Cliff, when I'm taking my kids to school, I'm going to be open for business. Joe Gruber, you guys know Joe Gruber, isn't he great? He's on our staff. He's a former pro skater. And this guy, like, he's Mr. Open for Business. If you know Joe, like, I mean, I remember meeting him 20 years ago, and he was like a pro skater, and I was like a skater grom, like, you're Joe Gruber. Like, and he just, like, took the time of day to talk. And he was always connecting with, like, he's always, like, interested in you. And, like, he just has such a great way of doing that. That's why we're so thankful to have him be a pastor here at Hope. And, but I want to be like that. Like, I want to be taking the time. I want to have room in my life. And what does that look like? It looks like sometimes slowing down, simplifying my life so I have room in my life for people, right? So let me ask you, will you, you know, and not being like Kali, I hate the little kids, you know? can you lay down your fear? Can you make room in your heart? Can we take Jesus up on his offer when he says, hey, if you lay your life down, you're going to find it? Either Jesus is telling the truth or he's lying, right? And the only way that we grow is by continuing to go back to God, get surrounded by him, get connected to the source, get reading the word, getting the truth in our lives so we can remember who we are, and we get back out there and we love people again. Who's down? You guys down? Okay, a couple people, good. Good. All right. Jesus only had 12, and they turned the whole world upside down. That's all we need. So, second thing I want to talk about is, in addition to being open for business, like, maybe you hear that and you think, okay, I got to get down there in Santa Cruz, downtown, and I got to get one of those signs that says, sinners repent. Like, that is, like, the last thing I'm talking about right now, guys. You know, don't get the speaker and put it on your belt and walk around, turn or burn. Like, that just, you turn more people away than people you help. You know what I'm saying? The Bible even says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, right? So it's his love, it's his mercy that draws us in so we can be changed, because we need to. You know, he says, come as you are, but don't stay that way. You know, he doesn't let us stay that way. He changes us to be more like him. But so the second thing, before you can speak truth into people's life, you got to build bridges. That if you're taking notes, write down, we the church need to build bridges. Because when you do the other thing, you're burning bridges. And when you try to cram truth down somebody's throat before you have a relationship, you burn the bridge. So we must build bridges of relationship, influence, that can bear the weight of truth. And that principle works with your kids, it works with your parents, it works with your friends, it works in every aspect of life, you know, because people don't care how much we know until they know that we care, right? So when you build that relationship and actually be genuine, authentic, and take the time and listen to somebody and care about what, and if you don't care, it's okay, because sometimes we don't. Like, but God, like, if you start praying for that person, and maybe it's like a neighbor and they're really annoying or they do something and their dog poops on your lawn or whatever, it's like, I hate that guy. No, you can't say that. You got to go, God, Lord, help me to have your heart for that person. And you start doing that, pretty soon you start praying for somebody, pretty soon you're going to start liking them, pretty soon you're going to start loving them. You can't help it. And then you can lead them. Listen, love, and then lead. And then we build a bridge that can carry the weight of truth. I'm not talking about strength or money or power. I'm talking about humble service. I'm talking about having a heart for people. That's why we serve pancakes, right? Like, anyone can do this. You can join us in this. We serve pancakes. That's why we teach kids how to skate at Skate Church. And, you know, I just wanted to honor somebody in our community right now. I want to take a minute in our service because it's so powerful. A dear friend of mine, his family's here too, and I didn't even know they were coming today, but I'm so grateful they're here. And I just got to know Marty the mechanic the last couple of years, and he had some big shoes to fill in Santa Cruz. What an amazing guy. This guy was so stoked, and he would tell you, like, he would talk to you about Jesus. I mean, he'd be the most, like, icy cold, grumpy lineup at Rockview, and Marty paddle out, no wetsuit, brightest shorts you'd ever seen. He'd have that board that he made. I don't know if we have a photo. He made that board with the, you got the board with the metal fins. I'm just so glad nobody got hurt from those metal fins. But dude, this guy, oh my gosh, like, talk about sharing the aloha. He had the aloha spirit, and everywhere he went, he'd build those relationships, you know? He helped me fix my car a couple times. I got an old beater, and he'd show up at my house and help me fix it and give me life lessons. He'd just be raining gold, like life lessons, and he's got his head buried in my car with his headlamp on there, you know? And sunscreen all over his face, like, you know, just like white sunscreen. He'd have all that, you know, he had like that cayenne drink he'd make. If you guys knew Marty, he always had this like, baby cream. Is that what that was? It's baby cream. Doubles for zinc. It's cheaper. So he'd have like the zinc, the baby cream, and he'd have like, if you didn't know Marty, like, you're not going to get it. You're just not going to understand like how cool this guy is. And he went home to be with the Lord last Sunday. He was doing what he loved every single day. 69 years old. Every single day, he'd be out there at Rockview surfing, no wetsuit, the dead of winter, just shining the light of Jesus out there like nobody else. And heaven is stoked. Marty is stoked. But we're going to miss him. Amen. Can we just say a prayer for his family right now? Since they're here with us, Lord, I thank you so much for this amazing man of God who just shined a bright light like nobody could in a true Santa Cruz fashion, Lord. And as much as we're going to miss him, I know his family is going to miss him. That there's some shoes that will never be filled in their home and in their lives. And I just pray that your comfort would surround them today, that your peace would reign, and that you would, as your word promises, that you're close to the brokenhearted, that you'd be close to them, and that you'd surround them with so much love and support. And if there's anything that we as a community can do to just love them and support them, I pray that that opportunity would come. And I pray that you'd help all of us to live like Marty, that we would wake up every day and live it like it was our last. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Sue. Thank you all for being here with us today. So we need to build bridges. We need to be like Marty. Amen? Third thing I got to challenge you with is this. This is my last point, is that we, the church, we got to value people the way God does. We got to see people the way God sees people. When you look at people in your community, maybe they're different than you. How do you see people? I was thinking about this because I was telling you about Kale, who hates all the little kids. He's a really strong-willed child, and he's like one of these kids. He likes to run. He's a runner. Like, he runs away. And he doesn't look back. Like, a lot of kids, like, you'll watch them, and they'll kind of run away, and they'll get, like, you know, a quarter mile out, and they'll be like, not Kale. So we have to really watch him because, like, we're in Hawaii visiting my wife's family out there on the North Shore. We're hanging out, and we're, like, by the food truck, Shark's Cove right there, you know, and we're just trying to find some food, and pretty soon, where's Kale? He's wearing a little Batman costume. And, like, I'm, like, I'm freaking out, you know, my heart's racing, and I'm walking around, I'm, where's Kale? You know, I'm just, and I'm, you know, and, like 5-10 minutes went by, it felt like an eternity. And, like, this dude pops out from one of the little stores. He goes, you looking for Batman? Thank God. So we moved last week, only a couple streets over from, like, 26th to 30th Avenue. We're right there. And it's kind of a busy street, 30th and Portola. First morning, I mean, this is our first day in the house. Kale's got his own room. And I woke up to the sound of his voice. Except I knew something was wrong because his voice sounded like it was coming outside from the window outside. I'm like, oh no. So I'm like, I'm running downstairs, I'm in my chonies, and I'm like opening the door. And my neighbor, thank God, she like works out early AM, garage door open, and she's like, yeah, I saw Kale, he was just booking it for 30th. And I'm like, Kale, what are you doing? He goes, shh, I'm sneaking out. Yes, I did go to Home Depot and buy one. You know those hotel locks they put on the doors? Like, it's like deadbolt thing, like just bolted in. It's like a fortress now. Because could you have imagined? Like, could you imagine, like, Kale just heads off, takes stuff down 30th? Like, he might have just went to the beach or something, you know? And then, like what if we couldn't find him? Like, seriously, like, think about that. Like, I would be freaking out. Like, I would be, whatever it took, like, I wouldn't care what it cost me in sleep or money or anything. Like, I would never stop looking. Anytime the phone rang, I'd probably still have a landline. Nobody has those. I'd just be waiting, you know? Like, any text message, any email, anything, anytime somebody knocked on our door, I'd be waiting going, oh God, let it be Kale. I'd pick my friends based upon who would help me find my son. And that's how he feels about you. And that's how he feels about people in our community who are far from God. He loves us. Not just like a father. He's not like a father. He is our father. You know what I'm saying? Luke 15, Jesus told these three stories, and he's talking to these real religious leaders, and they're kind of like, he was being criticized for hanging out with the wrong crowd. Jesus was hanging out with sinners, and they're like, how can you do that, you know, if you're a rabbi? And he's like, let me tell you some stories. And he tells the first story. He talks about a guy that lost a coin, and he's like, bummed. Because he lost this coin, and it's like, you know, it's like a lot of money. And he looks everywhere, and he finally finds it, and he rejoices. And then Jesus tells another story about a guy that lost a sheep. A lot of people were shepherds back then, you know. And this guy left the 99 to go find the one. I got to find that sheep. And then when he came home, he brought it back, and he was so stoked. He had a party, right? He just was rejoicing. And then he tells a story about a guy who lost his son. And the son said, "Dad, I don't want anything to do with you. I'll just take my inheritance now. I'm just going to go party." And he goes off and he parties and he prostitutes and the whole deal. And he finds himself just like basically like at the bottom going, "I wish I could just be a servant back at my, I wish I could just be the gardener at my parents' house." And so he comes crawling back with his tail between his legs. And guess what his dad does? He doesn't shame him or tell him, "I told you so." He just opens his arms so wide and he runs and he brings a robe and he brings a ring and he has a big party. But there's another brother, and the other brother wasn't all that excited because he's like, "Seriously? Like, I'm here all the time and he comes back and you're having a party for him?" And a lot of people read that story, and it's a very good story if you're wanting to know how God feels about us. We're the lost son, we're the lost coin, the lost sheep, and he loves us, and he wants us to come home, and he wants to welcome us home, and he wants to have a party. But he told that story because the people that were talking to Jesus were the older brother, and they didn't see the value of a person. I don't know about you, but I want to be the church that sees the value of people. I want everything we do to be waiting for that phone to ring or that door, that knock on the door to be like, "Oh, are you home?" I don't want to just wait for people. And like literally, like, you're never going to get the vision of this church unless like you get that. Unless you bring somebody here who's far from God. Like when you bring somebody here and you realize what it's like to bring a non-religious person into a church, or you go and reach your friend and they're like, "Yeah, I'll come to church." Dude, I'm so stoked. One of my friends actually came to church today for the first time. He's here. And I'm so stoked. Like, I wanted to just like have a party, you know? And he rocked out. Like, "Yeah, that's awesome." You know, because that's how we should be, right? That's how God wants us to be. And we, right? We gotta. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Well, before I wrap up, I gotta keep going here. I got one last thing for you. I got a friend that is gonna share his story. Mark, will you come down here? Or yeah, there he is. Give it up for Mark, guys. Okay, and they told me that you got to come over this way because last service we were messing, and you got to hold this closer to your face.
All right, yeah. Can you hear me now?
What's cool about two services is like you get to work out the bugs on the 9 a.m. crowd, you know? So we're getting this down now, right?
Yeah, hopefully I can keep it real this time.
Yeah.
Telling the same story twice.
No, dude, you did great, and I'm thank you for. It takes a lot of guts to come up here and share your story, and yeah, Mark, will you just tell us a little bit of, you know, what was the challenges you faced before finding Jesus?
Well, growing up around here, I grew up in a good family, but we never did any church. I never went to church. We didn't talk about God or Jesus, but I think, you know, when I was about 13 years old, my low self-esteem just like kicked in real hard, and that just ended up turning into some real like self-hate, and I started drinking. You know, I liked that and I enjoyed it, and then I just turned into a serious problem. But you know, when I was like 17 years old, I started getting violently intoxicated every day, and then by the time I was like 19 years old, I was blowing it really, really hard, and I ended up getting hate crime, getting felony, and just really falling apart, and just just letting my family down, letting myself down, and really just kind of feeding that self-hate. And it was fun. Me and my brother, my best friend, he broke his back the same day that I got in trouble for that hate crime, and that was the first time that ever, like, I was like, okay, God's telling us to chill out. Yeah, he breaks his back and that happened, but what I ended up doing there was I just started taking his pain meds, and that again just sunk me down even another level of just that low self-esteem, and just really made me desperate enough to kind of start seeking God. And I mean, I had great times growing up too, but that was the stuff that started to encourage me to start seeking the Lord, no doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you came to Hope. I think it's kind of a cool story.
Oh, yeah. So I had a friend of mine who was going through the same thing. We were both trying to turn our lives around. And we'd hang out all day, every day. We'd go to 12-step meetings. We'd go to 4 and 8 o'clock. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. And then me and him would meet up. And you make it? He'd be like, no. I'll either die. And but he introduced me to prayer. And he got me to start praying. And that was before I'd ever even considered giving that a shot. And I started praying. And at some point, he kind of started getting bad. I noticed there was something about him. He started getting reorganized, and he started looking like he's doing good. He's coming to Hope, and then he told me about this place. And then he started falling apart again. He was calling me. I was like, "Hey, man, you got to get back. You got to start going to Hope Church, man." You know, I started giving him rides here. I'd drop him off, and I was like, "You need help." And I'd drop him off here, and then I'd leave. He'd be like, "Mark, you got to come in." I'm like, "Nah, you know, I'm not into the whole Jesus thing, dude." You know, and I drop him off here. And then it's funny because I didn't meet Danny, but I saw him one time. I was surfing, and I don't really talk to people. And I'm surfing, I don't. And unless I know you, you know. But there's something about it. I was like attracted to this person. There's a lot of other people in the community who had the same effect on me. But Danny was a wild card because I didn't know him. He wasn't from here. And what is it about this person? There was a number of people who ended up being their Christians. But then my friend Jeff, finally one day I was dropping off, he's like, "Dude, you don't got to come to church. Just come meet the pastor." I was like, "All right." And then I came here, and it was Danny. And I was like, "Oh, that's the Holy Spirit." You know, the Holy Spirit was coming off the dude. And I just saw
it's funny.
The way I look at it now.
Wow. Well, that was so cool, man, because I remember when you came, and I remember meeting you, and I remember just... we were back at the school, at Del Mar School, and, you know, metal folding chairs, I think, in the beginning, and I remember looking out, and I just remember seeing you look up, and you came and talked to me after the service, and you're like, "I looked up, I don't really know why, I'm not sure what that is, but, you know," so we went and had a burrito together, and it's been really cool to see, like, maybe you could just share a little bit about how, you know, how the Lord's made a difference in your life.
Yeah, so there's so much to that, but I think something just to say that was really, I kind of thought that there was something I needed to know to be able to take a leap of faith to, you know, give my life to the Lord, or there's something I needed to do, or there's something I needed to read, or I don't know, I thought there was something to it, and it really was just to kind of, I'm not really that biblically knowledgeable to even know how to say it, you know, but when I accepted the Lord, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just had faith, you know what I mean, and I saw what he was doing in other people's lives around me, and I trust and believed in the people who I was seeing who were followers of Christ. It was obvious to me that their lack of judgment, and you know what I mean? And just the way that they carry themselves and just the Spirit pouring off them made me be able to take that leap and have some faith. And I would sit here in these chairs too and they'd ask us to respond. And I'd sit there and it'd just be brewing in my heart to look up. Like Danny was saying, I looked up, you know, one time. I sat there for weeks and like, I was just, all I could do is feel the Spirit tell me, he's like, "Come on, Mark," you know? And he is talking to me. And he had been talking to me for, even before I was coming to Hope. And then finally, I was like, "All right, forget it." I turn my head up, you know. And I feel like that's all you got to do. I mean, it's really simple. You don't really have to do much to turn your life to Christ. You know, it's a simple move. But it's hard, especially if you're doubtful, like I was. But it's okay. It's okay to have doubt too.
Yeah.
But how
for
my
sure.
life has changed. And I lean on him hard every day. You know what I mean? I really put the burden on him, and. I believe just to have having friends who are also believers, to be able to talk to them, you know, because the whole Jesus thing can trip people out. Like he's talking about building a bridge so they can hold the weight of that truth. You got to have a relationship with people, because if I just start blasting non-believers with the J word,
You're not going to want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know?
It takes a minute. Yeah, but...
the J word.
Yeah.
It's good.
Five letters. Maybe six. I don't know. But yeah, and I just really lean hard on them, and I, you know, yeah. That's how it's changed. I rely on Jesus.
Well, it's cool to see. I mean, God's just been working in your life, and you know, to see you now, you're helping a lot of other people in their sobriety. And you know, I've seen you've invited people to Hope, and you know, just got a degree. Mm-hmm. Dude's an engineer. Smarter than me. Yeah, it's so cool, and you know, married the love of your life, your best friend Amy, and you know, it's just so cool to have you guys part of Hope. What would you say to just encourage anyone out there that maybe can relate to your story?
Just kind of what I was saying before was like that you don't have to have a bunch of knowledge. You don't really need to know. You just if you feel God tugging on your heart to. Surrender your life to Him, or if you feel God tugging you in that direction, just, you know, go for it. And you don't need to do it. It doesn't need to be a public thing. You know, that was something else. I thought I was, you know, laying myself out for, you know, in front of everybody, you know, to do it. It's like, no, it's a personal relationship with Jesus. It's you and Him. It's you and another believer. It's you and your friend, you know. It's that. It's not this big public showing of, hey, I'm a Christian. And then that was another thing about Hope, coming to Hope, was I was going to a different church seeking. I'd been seeking Christ for a while, and I go there. I was kind of hiding in the dark when I came here. I seen a bunch of people who I knew from the community, and it made me come out of the closet as a believer, and it made my show my faith, too.
Look at you now, man.
Now I'm like, ow, even my parents were here earlier and everything. You know? I invited my parents, my family, yeah, and then just seeing other people's lives change. Like, I invited my good friend Aaron, and just seeing him and his daughter, and just we've been leaning hard on Christ with that one and that whole situation and his family, and just seeing like how that's blossoming in just such a gnarly direction beyond anything I could have ever even seen. Just seeing your life wherever you are, and just other people like that, just seeing other people's lives just really change from just taking that kind of feeble step that makes you feel kind of feeble.
It's awesome. Yeah. Can you think of a better guy to come and teach kids how to skate at Skate Church? Isn't that cool? Can we thank Mark? You guys, thank him. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much.
Thanks, bro.
So good.